Time is fleeting, so if you've not had time yet to pick up a good book, we all get so busy with the elections and everything. Well, now you have some time when all this is over, hopefully very soon, you can grab a good book and get going. This morning, Emily Crow joins us to present a fine list of books that will have you up all night turning those pages. Emily is from the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. Emily, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for letting me call in this morning. So
well,
I have
thank
a
you.
Chance to vote.
Yes, that is of ultimate importance. So, thank you very much for joining us by telephone this morning. Where would you like to begin?
I am going to start with a book called Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk. It is brand new in paperback, and it's written by a man named Ben Fountain, and it got published earlier this year in hardcover. And while it got tremendous critical praise, it was largely overlooked by the reading public. And now that it has been nominated for the National Book Award, I'm hoping that it will finally get the readership that it deserves. This was probably my favorite book from the first half of the year, and I think in time it is going to prove to be a cultural touchstone for the Iraq War in the same way that Tim O'Brien's book, The Things They Carried, or Michael Hare's Dispatches, became for the Vietnam War. The story is a little unusual in that it takes place in just the space of a few hours, so that when you're in the middle of it, you have the nearly surreal experience of reading the novel in real time as it's playing out on the page. Billy Lynn is part of the Bravo Squad, which is a group of young men who survived an insurgent attack in Iraq, but they've been brought back to the U.S. by President Bush in a kind of victory tour to increase support for the war. The book opens on Thanksgiving Day in Dallas, Texas, and Billy and the Bravo Squad are the guests of honor at a Cowboys football game. The crowd there reveres them as heroes, and, you know, the owner of the franchise is, you know, glad-handing them all day long and, you know, showering them with champagne and fine food. But you know, the whole time, Billy is dividing himself between not thinking about his best friend who was killed and also not freaking out over having to go back to Iraq the next day. And that's the big thing, that's the big elephant in the room that no one is mentioning. All of these boys are being feted and celebrated, but they have to go back to hell the very next day. Billy Lynn himself is a fascinating character. He's a boy who chooses to enlist in the Army in lieu of doing hard prison time after taking a crowbar to his sister's ex-fiancé's car, if you followed that. He's actually a very thoughtful young man, and he's fully aware that the label of hero really means nothing if your actions are guided neither by bravery nor fear, but simply reacting to any given situation. He basically comes out and says that, you know, one day you might storm the fortress, and the next day you might be cowering underneath your Humvee, and there's really no rhyme or reason to say why. I think Ben Fountain's novel is the first book coming out of the Iraq War that seems willing to say that, more than anything else, war is a commercial enterprise. It's difficult not to draw those parallels between the U.S.'s involvement in Iraq with, for example, the Dallas Cowboys franchise, and Texas's oil-steeped politics. But going beyond that, I think Billy Lynn is really making the unspoken suggestion that more than a commercially motivated enterprise, that war just might be an entertainment one rather than a politically motivated one. And that is the sort of zinger that stuck with me when I finished the page. And I am keeping my fingers crossed that come November 14th, this book is going to be the winner of the National Book Award.
Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk by Ben Fountain, now out in paperback.
Okay.
Next.
Next up that I'd like to mention is a book from a small literary publisher by the name of Unbridled. The book is called These Things Happen, and it is written by Richard Kramer. This is his first novel, but Kramer is an Emmy and a Peabody Award-winning writer, and he's written for shows like 30-something, My So-Called Life, and Once and Again, and I think his background in television writing shows, because this book is really snappy and fast-paced. If you're familiar with the young adult writer John Green, And if you take his characters and their dialogue, and then you pair it up with the humor of Joss Whedon, he's the genius behind Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Firefly, I think you've got a pretty good idea of the tone of this book. It is set in New York City and told from multiple points of view, and it's the story of two 15-year-old boys, Theo and Wesley, and they are best friends. And when Theo decides to come out to Wesley and the entire school during his acceptance speech for class president, it starts the book in motion. So you've got this liberal and sophisticated Upper West Side school supporting Theo in his coming out, on the one hand. And then it's followed a few days later by a violent attack against both Theo and Wesley, on the other hand. And the school and the parents and the community at large are trying to rectify both sides of the situation. You get a shifting point of view from the boys, but also from their parents. And the book explores adolescence and gayness and what it means to be a parental figure when the actual parent is busy off fighting important social causes. And despite the occasional dark turns in the story, I thought this was very, very funny, and it feels both very fresh and, I think, very much of our time. I really enjoyed it.
These Things Happen by Richard Kramer. Next up.
Okay, next one, I hope you'll forgive me for mentioning a second time my favorite book of the year. It's called The Dog Stars by Peter Heller, and it might be even the best book I've read in the last few years. It's a debut novel, but Peter Heller is no stranger when it comes to writing prose. And he's written a few nonfiction books. He is a travel writer and essayist for outdoor magazines. And I don't think it's possible to produce a book like this that is this good first time out of the gate, but he has done it with this novel. It's the story of a man named Hig, and he is one of the few surviving people after a terrible flu has wiped out most of the population. And he lives in at this abandoned municipal airport, and he has a very uneasy alliance with a military guy named Bangley. And with his small Cessna and his dog named Jasper, and with Bangley's with help, they create a perimeter around the airport that they can defend and protect against the almost feral people who occasionally cross their paths. So they go along, not really trusting each other, but relying on each other, until one day Hig is up in his plane, and he hears a voice broadcasting from a place well beyond the point that he can reach and return home on his gas tank. But that voice starts to haunt his waking and dreaming moments, and they make Hig wonder, you know, are there other pockets of people out there like him, people who've maintained their humanity, but, you know, maybe also their hope, which is the last thing that he feels is keeping him in this world. I don't want to say more than that, other than the rest of the book is dedicated to searching for those people and that hope. But reading this book is deeply, deeply satisfying, and I laughed and I cried, and I know people say that all the time about books, but I really did. And my pulse was pounding, and I often had all three of those reactions within the same chapter, and then he just started all over again. And my husband watched me read this book on vacation this year, and after watching me read it, he knew he had to read it too. This is definitely a book you don't want to miss. And no, I don't think you have to be a fan of post-apocalyptic fiction to really be drawn into this one. It's fabulous.
The name of the book is The Dog Stars by Peter Heller. Next.
Okay. For something completely different then, we've gone from dark and depressing to delightful and quirky with a book called Mr. Penumbra's 24-Hour Bookstore, written by Robin Sloan. And it was published just a few weeks ago, and I think it might become the surprise bestseller of the season. So imagine for a minute if Jasper Ford had written The Name of the Rose and placed it in a 21st century setting. And now throw in a secret society of bibliophiles, that dates back to the 16th century. And now, people this book with a mysterious bookshop owner and a fantasy reading computer programming bookseller and a Google maven who believes that the secret to immortality lies in unlocking codes to traditional knowledge. And you throw them all together and you get this book, Mr. Penumbra's 24-Hour Bookstore. And it is a fun read and a fast read, and it's one that is going to vindicate nerds and geeks everywhere. If you're at all interested in the history of printing or bookmaking, if you're interested in typography and design, mysteries, pop culture, the collective brain power of Google, or any book that is fun and clever, you should give this book a spin. And best of all, the cover glows in the dark. I took it home and held it up under a light and turned off all the lights, and bam.
And it works.
It was great.
Mr. Penumbra's 24-Hour Bookstore.
So how are we doing on time?
We have about 3 minutes left.
All right. Then I'm going to bang out a trio of books for book and bookstore lovers.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is called My Bookstore. And over 80 independent bookstores participated in this project, and the stores who were participating were asked to ask their writing customers to contribute an essay about what makes their store a great place to browse, read, and shop. And it's a great book for the book lover or the armchair traveler because you get an insider's perspective about some of the country's great bookstores. Abraham Verghese, for example, tells us what he loves about Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa, and Ann Patchett waxes eloquent about what makes McLean and Eakin Bookstore in Michigan so special. And we at the Odyssey are completely humbled to be included as part of this project, and Martha Ackman is the writer who writes a very personal and heartfelt essay about the history of our own bookstore. And she's going to be here for a signing on November 13th, and we're very excited about that because it also coincides with our store anniversary.
Wonderful.
And then second book in the trio, My Ideal Bookshelf, and it asks famous writers like Malcolm Gladwell, David Sedaris, and Jennifer Egan what handful of books best represent them. So we don't just discover an author's favorite book, but the book that changed their life, or the book that made them who they are today, or the book they read again and again, or, you know, the book that makes them cry every time they read it. It's personalized touches like that. And then the authors take photographs of the actual books on their shelf that they're writing about, and those photographs are then rendered into paintings by Jane Mount, the oil painter, and they accompany every essay in the book, and it's a great book to just dip into. And then lastly, Weird Things Customers Say in Bookstores by Jen Campbell.
There you go.
Do you know this one?
No.
Oh, well.
But I've heard very weird things said by customers in bookstores.
Exactly. This book is either going to make you laugh out loud, or you're just going to walk away shaking your head about the absurdity of it all. But they are true tales from real booksellers across the U.S. and in the United Kingdom. And they're sharing funny or bizarre or off-the-wall anecdotes from actual customer interactions. And The Odyssey is in this book, too. We actually submitted a few scenarios, and two of which were accepted. But anybody who has ever worked in retail will recognize the absurdity of humanity that runs through these pages. But if you're a book lover in particular, I think you should treat yourself to this book. And it's only $15 for the hardcover, so it makes a great holiday gift, too.
Well, for more information on the Odyssey Bookstore in South Hadley, Massachusetts, you can visit them at 9 College Street in South Hadley, or call them 413-534-7307, 413-534-7307, or visit them online, odysseybks.com, odysseybks.com. Emily Crow, so thank you so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Joe. It was great to be here.
Thank you. And a reminder, we post each week's book picks online at wamc.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.